everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Convos.
Hey, y'all.
Hello, hello.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Convos on IG. Email us at afrosandconvos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandconvos.com. How is everybody doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm doing good as well.
You doing good, Cookie?
You know, I'm out here living life, you know? Living life with childcare. Hey, amen. free at that. Hello. Want to let you guys know, Dre is not going to be with us on this episode. She is a little busy, so she will not be on this Trending Convos episode, but she will be back on the Saturday book combo that we have on Jesse, you know, that's her name. Her name is Yah Jesse, not Yah Jossy, but you know, the book is homegoing. Yes. So get your copy, read it. It's coming out on April 10th, and we are excited about it. And also, before we start this Trending Convos, apparently we ruffled some of y'all's feathers out there. You know what I'm saying? Last Saturday, our episode came out over on what was over and underrated. And child, did y'all have some stuff to say, you know? Yeah,
so they were big mad.
Yeah, so we're going to address some of the stuff and address some of your comments here. So, Kika, what the folks had to say out there?
Oh, yeah. The peoples were big mad. Listeners were big mad. I put a poll on our Instagram page and my page that was just like, is Denzel overrated? 93% said that he is not. 7% said that he is overrated. And somebody said his looks may be overrated. Maybe that's what. She said, I don't really get the whole swoon effect with him, but maybe that's what's overrated. Oh, I was like, oh, okay. That's not what we're talking about, but we'll take it. But I asked somebody if that supported Denzel. There's like, nah, he's not overrated. Like, does he disappear in the roles for her? Or does it still, like, do you still see traces? And she was like, nah, he disappears from me. I was like, that's interesting. Folks were like, we ain't standing for no Denzel slander. Somebody actually, on another note, was mad at me because I came for Crooklyn. Like,
because you deserved it.
They were like, but they're not even a Spike Lee fan. They were just like, Crooklyn is it. And I'm mad that you called it trash. And I was like, look, chalk it up to cultural lack of understanding. I mean, artistically, it's a solid movie. I just don't get it. There's no I don't get it. But yeah, folks were not here for Denzel slander, and my inbox was just blowing up, and I had to let people know I am not the one who said that about Denzel.
Yeah, I said it. Drea said it, and I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for Drea. When we say we stand by what we said, I don't care what none of y'all Denzel lovers out there got to say, Denzel is overrated. I had a conversation with a similar person who is a Denzel lover. Like, she is in love with Denzel. And she texted me, and she was like, she screenshotted from our social media page, and she sent it to me. She was like, I haven't even listened to the episode yet, but you bet not have been the one talking about Denzel overrated. And I was like, sis, sorry to disappoint you, but yeah. And I completely forgot that she loved Denzel, but we had a real conversation, and I asked her, literally, do you think, same question you asked, does he disappear for you? Name a role where that nigga has transcended himself to play that role. And then, quite frankly, honestly, he probably gets typecasted, and well, he does get typecasted, and roles get written for him, but that is, again, a problem. That is, I mean, that I don't feel like he's been challenged enough to be versatile enough for me to classify him as one of the greats, in my opinion.
Nah, y'all crazy. First off, Denzel is extremely versatile. You probably haven't seen any of his plays. Amazing. Besides Fences, what else you see?
No, I mean, okay, so I that's true. I have not seen a play besides Fences, but, and even that, I'll give you that. So if he can act in plays in a way that transcends a role, I'll give you that. I haven't seen that. And even in Fences, he was very Denzel.
But and then you're saying he hasn't really played anyone else besides Malcolm X, and he killed Malcolm X. Even though y'all think he was similar to Malcolm X, I think they were.
I think Malcolm X is a role that he disappeared the most in. But yeah. I still saw remnants of Denzel. I'm not saying that he's not good. I did not say that he's not good. I just said that he does not transcend in a way that I would classify him as a great. That's all I said. I do think that he's good. And he's a blockbuster actor. And I would go to see a movie with Denzel in it because Denzel is in it. But that's why I'm going to see it is because Denzel is in it. I mean,
well, I forgot he was in Book of Eli, and I was like, he was really good in that movie.
Book of Eli was good.
He was good. But I will agree, that was one of the few where I watched it and didn't think, that's Denzel. Mm-hmm. Like I think the roles where he is that hard-ass uncle, he does show more of Denzel than in other roles. But yeah, the folks were not having it, and I just want to go on record, it was not me. So y'all didn't slide in Cookie and Dre's inbox with y'all disdain for their statements.
No, but y'all need to slide over here nowhere because you ain't gonna change my mind. Like, you not.
But then I might
change my mind in terms and watch a play, but that's about it.
And then I asked, who are some overrated actors? And I was surprised by one of them. So we got Reese Witherspoon, which I don't disagree with. Scarlett Johansson.
I love Reese Witherspoon. I will say that I think it's because it's Reese Witherspoon. I think Reese Witherspoon, like, I want to be her best friend.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon seems like she's an absolute doll off camera. But in front of camera, what Reese Witherspoon role have you seen that you're like, oh my god, that is awesome?
Legally Blonde, girl, what?
But is she known for being great, though? Like, I don't think you say Reese Witherspoon. I don't think people...
I think she's A-list.
Folks love them some... Yeah, she is. She's definitely A-list. She's A-list. Folks love them some Reese Witherspoon.
What else Reese been in besides Legally Blonde? And what's that other movie that she was
the
in?
The Little Fires Everywhere.
That was a Hulu special. But it was another movie that she was in that was actually really good. But what else she's playing?
She was in Wild.
She was in Wild.
She was in Walk the Line. She played June Carter. But, I mean, folks really rock with Reese Witherspoon. Like, they really
rock with it, too. But I was like, oh, Reese killed. Like, she killed Legally Blonde. But what else did she kill?
Yeah, they said she overrated. They said Scarlett Johansson is overrated, which I disagree. She does an amazing job as Black Widow. Like, are you kidding me?
Like, I don't know what else she do. But
exactly.
Marvel movie,
so you willing to say that she
do? What else?
Oh my god! Whatever.
I mean, she kills, and I haven't seen a bunch of stuff that she's been in because the stuff that she tends to act in, I'm not a fan of. Like, I'm not a Scarlett Johansson fan, so I'm not going and watching everything she's in. But I've seen her in those Marvel movies, and she is one of my favorite characters. Like, I'm looking forward to the Black Widow's movie that's coming out.
Yeah, she did look good. I agree.
So, and she was in the other Bolin girl, and she did good in that.
Oh, she did. She did. That was really good, actually.
So I disagree with that. And then this one, fighting words, Kerry Washington.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That person has no taste of an art or creativity.
Now, here's the thing actress. With Kerry Washington.
Dang, Camille.
Kerry Washington is an amazing actress, but I don't know how you can classify her as overrated because what has she been in other than Scandal? And Scandal didn't even last that, like, in terms of longevity, that didn't even last that long. It was what, six seasons, something like that.
Maybe Scandal was longer than that.
No, it was not. Really? No, it was not. It was seven at the most. Wow. Seven seasons at the most. Because remember, it ended at a high. Yeah, because Shonda pulled it off. So it was seven seasons at the most. So again, and you thought it was longer. So it's like, Carrie hasn't had anything of significance to just be like a blockbuster movie to call her overrated. Like, even if you feel some type of way about her acting skills, I don't know how you could call her overrated because she don't be in nothing for real. So,
black women actresses don't really get roles. Besides Halle Berry, so like,
who's overrated?
She was Ray's wife.
Oh yeah, Ray's what? Yeah,
she was in Ray's
and Django, and then
Three Words.
Yeah,
and they was all in German.
She was in Save the Last Dance, which
that's girl, awesome. Girl, that was so long ago.
She was in Lakewood Terrace. Do y'all know that movie?
Nope.
What? It sounds familiar.
With Samuel Jackson, he's like stalking her and her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, I remember that. And American Son that recently came out. Yeah. But
she does a lot of theater.
She does a lot of theater. Yeah.
She don't get no movies though. But yeah. when she get a role, you remember she
be
that
doing,
role.
Yeah, she yeah. be doing. Oh, and she did
Color Girls.
Girl, why do you always go to that movie? You have named for Color Girls at least three episodes. And it's just
in this case, it actually is fitting. She was in everything.
She did that Anita Hill.
She did.
Yeah, she killed it.
Which I haven't watched that yet.
She killed it.
It was really good.
Yeah.
She's
a great actress. I disagree with her being considered overrated. One, because she ain't been rated to even be overrated like that. So that's one thing. But for what we will rate her on, Kerry Washington is a beast. Mm-hmm. Period. But just wanted to toss that out there. It was real spicy in my inbox, and I just want y'all. Hey, we agree. Well, two of us agree. The other two, they have a little bit of issues. They just contrarian in their spirit. So have y'all heard about this new HBCU All-Star game that's about to happen?
No.
Oh, man, what's that about?
So CBS has partnered with a Black-owned sports marketing and event company called HBCU All-Stars, to have an HBCU All-Star game that would be, it'll start in 2020 in New Orleans during the Final Four. It'll play the Sunday, the weekend of the Final Four in New Orleans.
2022, you mean?
Yeah, 2022. Yeah, 2022. Yeah. So it's going to be the Sunday of the Final Four weekend, and they'll play the game. It'll be showcasing all these different HBCU talents and stuff. And they're also trying to have a HBCU All-Star game experience, which will be a week-long festival that starts Tuesday before the All-Star game and wraps the following Tuesday at the national championship game. And it's just going to focus on celebrating Black culture, Black experience, Black history through the HBCU experience, and highlighting the college admissions fair. They're also setting up a scholarship and internship opportunities to kind of foster diversity and get those students out. I think the NBA All-Star, because it was super pro HBCU, kind of sparked that. So I'm thinking it's going to be something similar to that, but on the college March Madness stage. What do y'all think about that?
Look, I'm here for, I'm just, listen, why y'all wait so long? I'm old. Mm-hmm. I can't be enjoying all the festivities. I got cheering. I'm old. Listen, that's the only thing I hate about it. Y'all waited too long.
Any little young professional lunch
in mix
that we can go to. We too old for the young stuff. We can't be.
We roll up on that Friday night. We here for the mix in New Orleans. But yeah, I can't imagine if we were students and that happened. That would be super dope. Yeah.
Oh, man, we would have fun.
In New Orleans at that, that would have been super dope. But yeah, I agree. I saw that and I was like, I am 100% here for it. I'm here for this wave that's happening. And I'm here for stuff that's not, we going to donate $300 million to Howard.
Yeah.
And Spelman. I'm here for all HBCUs getting this stage, and I'm interested to see the details as it unfolds. But I thought that was super cool, and I thought that was super dope. And shout out to Robert Covington, who is the former TSU, now NBA player, who has been very outspoken about his HBCU experience and how it's molded and shaped him and got him to where he is, because I think he is a very integral voice in this conversation that's leading, you know, athletes to choose HBCUs, like Master P's son choosing TSU to play ball. Things like that, I think, are huge in leveling the playing field where that's concerned with sports. My other piece of news is, so I spent most of, you know, the last week watching all these March Madness games. And I just want to shout out the two coaches who made history as the first Black women to lead teams to the NCAA's Final Four simultaneously. Adia Barnes, who's the coach of the Arizona Wildcats, and Dawn Staley, who's the coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks.
Adia Barnes is Black?
Adia Barnes is Black. Her daddy is Black.
Shut up!
Girl, we had the same conversation. She pulled the picture and everything.
Yeah, I pulled a picture of their daddy and they were like, what? No, her daddy is chocolate.
No, so her, I heard her voice and I was like, she got something in her. Like, she has a deeper voice. But mm-hmm. like, no, she looked like a straight white girl.
She's Black.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was already a big fan of Dawn Staley, just following her career. But I was already like a fan of hers. So to see her on this stage and then to see Adia Barnes and what she's done with that program, and which I originally thought it was within 6 years, but it's been, she's taken this program from winning six games in 2018 to being in the championship game this year. That is huge mm-hmm. for a first-time coach. And I appreciate not only just, you know, Black women getting this opportunity to be center stage and make history. I also appreciate just the fact as a woman, because she has a child that's around one, if not younger than one. And she was talking about having a breast pump between like the at halftime and stuff, and showing her, you know, feeding her son and or her daughter. And I was just like, I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. I'm here for, I know normalize is a buzzword, but I'm gonna use it. I'm here for normalizing women in workspaces and bringing the fullness of who they are and not having to put it aside, especially when you're talking about sports. Because yes. you have something like Serena Williams. That mm-hmm. woman is full-fledged pregnant playing on the court and couldn't really announce it and talk about it until posted because of, I'm sure, the stigma of it. So I'm here for it. I'm here for Black women succeeding and doing great things. I'm here for women succeeding and doing great things and combating these stereotypes that causes us to be looked at less than. So shout out to Adia Barnes and Dawn Staley.
Awesome. Well, and still in the realm of sports, well, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about some politics. So, you know, my home state of Georgia decided that they wanted to pass some stupid ass law where they are limiting voting rights yet again because they mad that it shifted this state blue. You know what I'm saying? Niggas coming out, they voting, they done flipped the Senate seats, and we done voted for Joe Biden. Who in a million years would have thought Georgia would did that? I don't know. It was close, but we did it. And so what did they say we was gonna do? We gonna take away the votings from the niggers. So,
oh Lord,
they done made it even more difficult for you to get an absentee ballot. They have drop boxes have been moved inside of facilities instead of being on the outside, so that you have to. The facility has to be open in order for you to walk in and drop off a ballot. So, like it's. And part of early voting and absentee voting is because we don't have a national holiday to be able to go vote. People gotta work. So, I mean, some people get off work at 7 o'clock and go drop it off at the little drop boxes outside. But now they can't do that because probably 7 o'clock, the library closed. So, you know, then I know y'all saw them long-ass lines that Georgia had for voting. And you can't give niggas water and food in the line. You can't do that.
Insane to me. Like, y'all are over here. Y'all are over here about to tell people that they cannot give people food and water as they stand in the blazing hot sun for hours.
Yep. And you know, I would understand if it's like people, you telling them that they can't wear apparel from a campaign or whatever, but you're talking, there are some organizations that are literally third party, not connected to anybody, who do go out and hand out, and they hand out hot chocolate too, because sometimes it'd be cold outside. I know y'all don't know about Georgia being cold. Sometimes it'd be cold outside and we got to stand outside and wait, so they give hot chocolate, but none of that can happen anymore. So yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts. I'm sure it's a bunch of voter ID laws and all that crap. I mean, it's just a bunch of crap that's just like, let's prevent, you know, as many people from being able to vote as possible. So the Major League Baseball, surprise, shocking me, at least I'll speak for myself, I was shocked. They decided, so they were originally going to play in Atlanta, they decided Hell no, we ain't gonna do that. Y'all, listen, this is in a wave of black people asserting themselves and boycotting shit. So we gonna move from Atlanta and we are going to Denver. Where might I add that 93% of Denver votes by mail? Colorado. Colorado mails ballots. I voted in Colorado. Colorado, I think, was the... I voted in Colorado before, and ballots were mailed to my parents' house. I was home on a break, and I filled it out, and my brother took it and dropped it off at a drop box. That is a normal thing. That was like 10 years ago. That is a normal thing that Coloradans do every single election cycle. So, listen. And then it was funny because they were talking on the news, because I'm happen to be in Colorado. They were talking on the news about the move, and they were saying, and then in Georgia, they won't let people hand out water in lines. And guess what? We don't have to do that in Colorado because we don't have no stupid ass lines. And I'm like, y'all right. Y'all right. Yeah. So it's nuts. Yeah. I was shocked. Were y'all shocked? Y'all saw that?
Yeah. I was like, you all are so bent on holding on to power that you would go this far and make a sign a law that's this blatantly discriminatory and racist, and you sign it in a room surrounded by white people under that, you know, people talk about the picture was a former plantation, and then you arrest the black woman, under the door, saying y'all need to do this in public, like you're breaking rules. And I was genuinely shocked. And for me, it was just like, you know what? This is a part of the fight for any level of liberation as black people in America, because until we continue to gain some leverage in the area of power, white people are going to have power. So even when we push and we do succeed, they have the power to be able to make it even more difficult. It's really, really sad that it happened, but it was just like, you know what? That is what is to be expected. But how vile is that? Like, man.
It's blatantly racist. Because you have the power and the privilege to go, like, even when Trump accidentally said, if we had mail-in ballots, a Republican will never win, because he knows that a majority of the Democratic Party, they're blue-collar workers, they're 9 to 5, they can't just get up and leave and go vote, so that's why those things were put in place, so they have the ability to operate their right to vote. Yeah, I think it's crazy, but we're gonna make some strides.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, that's a testament to scared. They're scared because what Georgia did was huge. And I remember when it happened, there was some chatter on, this is big, let's celebrate it, but let's not stop here because there's something to come. Like, this is, we've won this battle, but there's still a war that's going on. So I'm just proud of black people. Like, my God. Like, we just keep, you know, overcoming the trashness that is white supremacy and how it manifests itself in just terrible ways. But, yeah.
Well, speaking of white supremacy, I want to mention the Forbes list of the richest people in the world. So Forbes just came out with their, what is it even called? The richest people, the list of richest people in the world came out. And so there are very few black people on the list. In fact, under 10, it is. But I don't know how many people are on the list, but it's a whopping 7 black people on here. The richest of the blacks is Robert F. Smith. And if you recognize that name, that is the man who went viral for paying off Morehouse's, the graduating class when he gave their commencement speech. He paid off their, what balances, loans. I don't know. He paid off something. David Stewart, who I've never heard of, but he's in IT. Then you got Oprah Winfrey, you know, Kanye West, Michael Jordan, Jay-Z, and then poor little old Tyler Perry rounds out the list as the poorest of the blacks with $1 billion. Wow. So yeah, you know, you can count on you need two hands. That's it. You don't even need all the fingers. That's crazy. Like,
and is that list just for the U.S.? That's not worldwide, correct?
Maybe it might just be for the U.S. But okay,
because I can think of several Africans that are billionaires. Because the richest black man in all the world is an African. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's Dangote, but it may not be him.
Yeah, so it might just be in America. Oh, no, it says world's billionaire list.
That's not accurate.
The 35th annual world's billionaire list. And honestly, because there were some issues going back and forth with Kanye a couple years back, they might not be sharing records the way that Forbes would need records shared in order for them to verify that this person is as rich as he claims that he is rich, or the amount of money or ways in which he obtains money might not be something that Forbes is willing to recognize. So it could be a variation of all those things, but it says world's richest people.
Interesting.
But yeah. Okay. And you know, Kim Kardashian West, the whoever her name is, whatever her name is, she finally made it. Her life's biggest goal to be rich and recognized. So she made it. Shout out to her. And then lastly, I want to talk about Kanye West. Did y'all hear about this Netflix deal?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was shocked by that.
Yeah. So Kanye West has inked a deal at Netflix to release, I don't know if it's going to be a series or just one solid documentary or whatever, but it's a documentary piece surrounding his life. Apparently that man has been documenting and filming his life for the past 20, 21, 22 years. And
that's not surprising.
Yes, not at all. Not at all. And apparently is you know, packaging it up to be in a documentary form on Netflix. So that should be interesting. It should be interesting. We'll see what it's showing us. But, you know, maybe it shows us some stuff behind the scenes when Kanye was tweeting shit that is like, hey, what? Maybe it'll make sense, you know? Make it make sense, bro. So we'll see.
I'm interested to see it.
Now, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it because I'm interested. 20 years, and it's like including all types of clips and videos from that footage that he's been shooting. So,
yeah.
Well, it'll be exciting. So, we'll see.
Okay, well, end the night for us. Did y'all hear about this new Utah law? It's actually really interesting. I'm interested to hear y'all's opinion. So there's a new law in Utah that will now require biological fathers to be financially responsible for paying half of the out-of-pocket costs during a woman's pregnancy. So, you know, the black community, they got time.
Baby daddy's everywhere about to be pissed.
People put up the little praise God hands. That's like, is this gonna go nationwide? But other people were upset about it. People were just like, because the motive behind it is to prevent abortions. So by helping to lessen the burden of paying for having a child, you know, this will have more people will want to have their children. What do y'all think about it? Y'all got time for the biological fathers?
That's an interesting yeah, that's an interesting methodology to get at preventing abortions. Yeah. Because there's way more, there's so much more. Yes, pregnancy is expensive. Delivery is expensive. All, like, the food, all the stuff. I mean, yes, stuff is expensive. But, I mean, you still got a child after the pregnancy. The pregnancy over the course of the span of the lifespan of a child, pregnancy is but a blip. Like, I mean, so, I mean, that's interesting.
I wouldn't have thought that was the motivation. I'm actually surprised that that's the motivation. But Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know. I'm just kind of, you know, that's interesting. That's all I got to say to it. Yeah. I don't.
Okay, well, one more pregnant thing. Then I got one more conversation piece. So, more than 150 women claim to have fallen pregnant while taking Anulet CD, which is an oral contraceptive pill that was distributed by the Chilean government. So y'all, these people been taking this birth control that was issued by the government. They got pregnant. They got pregnant taking the birth control.
They're giving these people placebos.
And so they says no one is denying production problems with the pills, but no one is taking responsibility. And so they're just shifting blames.
Like, what is the percentage of women that have taken it that have gotten pregnant?
100%.
Like, is it their body?
We don't know the percentage, but apparently more than 150 women.
Wow, they getting these kids Tic Tacs. That is, and that sucks because they're unfortunately in a government that won't take responsibility and can get away with it, so they can't even sue.
Yep.
Oh man, that's trash. That is real, really trash. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Know, I would say, you know, read it before you take it, but if your government issuing it to you,
Right, if they slap something that says it's 100% successful and you popping that joint and then you get docked up, what you go?
Can you imagine going to the doctor and like, yeah, you pregnant? You're like, no, can I?
I took 6 of the pills.
I take mine every day. What you talk about? Oh, it's scary.
That sucks.
Okay, I got one more. So, Arkansas Governor Hutchinson, he vetoed on Monday an anti-transgender healthcare bill that would have prohibited physicians in the state from providing gender-affirming procedures for trans people under the age of 18.
So what does that mean? Oh, he vetoed that law.
He vetoed it.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
in Arkansas.
You know, that's where our people from. So basically, as of now, if you are under the age of 18, you can have gender affirming procedures. What y'all think about that?
That's shocking in Arkansas.
Girl, that's why I thought I read it wrong. So I read it multiple times. I said, hey, he vetoed. Because I just knew he vetoed the bill that was doing the opposite. Yeah. You know, he said, no, y'all.
Did he explain his reasoning? Has he made a statement concerning it? Do you know?
No, I don't know. But, I mean, a lot of people are here for it.
That's very, very surprising given the state.
Yeah, I mean, except the conservative Republicans that make the majority of the states. But all the people that was in the comments, they was here for it. What y'all think about it?
I think we get into a tricky space when we try and legalize morality, which is what I'm guessing that law that was put in place was trying to do. It's just you can't force a hand and try and control people by law. So I don't think that it is something that should have been, it shouldn't be a conversation of law. Now, you know, it being vetoed is an absolute surprise, but I don't know why that was a law to start off with. I think I think the government is overstepping in a situation like that. Unless they're thinking that there's some kind of scientific reason why it's dangerous to have the surgery prior to a certain age, or they've had issues of kids that are not having consent from their parents and stuff. I'm not sure what the reason would be to try and, you know, legalize something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I personally don't believe in legislating morality, as Kika just said. I think that's a huge overstep by the government. I don't think the government should be telling anybody what to do with any part of their body, any at all. Like, I don't. And I think to Law, I would be interested to hear what, like, why he vetoed it, because again, yeah. I am shocked by that. But yeah, I think it's a good move. I think it's the right move. I don't think the government should be doing that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually shocked that I read it multiple times because Arkansas is extremely conservative, and I did not know that they didn't even that they didn't already have laws in place, because you know that's how in the South you can't do nothing.
Yeah.
So I was really shocked that there wasn't that the law wasn't already in place. But yeah, I agree that you can't tell people what to do with their bodies. It's their choice.
Yeah, and you push people into a dangerous space where you start eliminating their options to do things the right way.
Yeah, safely. Like,
yeah, like if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. Now you're gonna have underground clinics popping up that's doing surgeries like that that is gonna butcher people to a point of potentially killing them, and that causes a bigger issue than you just giving them the freedom to make that decision. And, you know, I think there's just a different institution that should address those issues and conversations, and I don't think it's the government, so.
All right, well, that's all we got for this week. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.